Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have you join us tonight. The number here is 657-383-0944. For the next hour, we will talk straight to you. To our listening audience, you know, for your sake, or those that are new, I should say, to our listening audience, we want to emphasize that this is an educational lecture series, and so our podcast is designed to provide useful information that can help transform individuals' lives across America and beyond, I'll say. The United States have a new president. We are 6 months into a new year, but yet some of the same people who struggled financially in 2016 and for years before are now 6 months deeper economic disparity. Is there a solution in sight? Tonight we will talk from the topic American capitalism. Who is it good for? Again, the number to call and join the conversation, this is an open mic discussion, is 657-383-0944. Feel free to call if you're listening, wherever you're listening from, it doesn't matter. Whatever city, whatever state, whatever country, give us a call here. We'll be happy to entertain your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Having said that, we're going to give our monologue now for the next few minutes. And we're talking again from the topic American capitalism. Who is it good for? Biblical text found in 1 Timothy 6:10 reads in the King James Version, "For the love of money, the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I'd like to speak about capitalism and how it works and look at two other terms, those being economics and free enterprise. And that will be the basis of our conversation for the next 55 minutes or so. Capitalism is a money-making system and beliefs that are based in the practice of private ownership to self-control, production, and profit. The most common characteristics are private property, money accumulation, wage labor, voluntary exchange, having a price system that one operates from, and competitive markets that you engage in. In a capitalist market economy, decision making and investment are determined by the owners of the factors, production, or financial capital markets. In other words, whoever owns the business that produced the goods. Additionally, prices and their distribution or the distribution of goods, they are mainly determined by the competition. Who's out there trying to compete to provide the same goods or services to supply where there is a need? Capitalism has been criticized for establishing power in the hands of a handful of people or the minority, known as the capitalist class. The suggestion is they exist through the exploitation of a working class or majority for prioritizing profits over social goods, natural resources, and environment, and for being an engine of inequality and economic instabilities. Supporters believe that it provides better products through competition, though, and the supporters believe that it creates strong economic growth, yields productivity and prosperity that greatly benefits society, as well as being the most efficient system known for the allocation of resources. Now, what is interesting about those two arguments is those that argue against it, that say it exploits people. Well, but here's a catch. Anybody can engage in the system of capitalism or follow those practices. There is no limitation, there is no law, there are no restrictions. Unfortunately, everyone doesn't, though. And the truth of the matter doesn't make you a bad person that you don't. Where there is work to be done, there's an opportunity for you to gain some. You're not going to control how much you make unless you own the business. So the question is, who is it good for? As we strive to move forward to answer that question, let me share with you something that an American economist from the 1700s, born in the 1700s, and lived throughout the early 1800s, said. And this name may sound familiar, the family name. His name is Mayer Amschel Rothschild. Yes, you've heard of the seven most wealthiest families around the world, Rothschild. What he said is, give me, quote, give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who maketh laws, end quote. Mr. Rothschild discovered the missing passive component of economic theory, known as economic inductance. What Mr. Rothschild had discovered was the basic principle of power, influence, and control over people, and has this particular principle that he discovered has its root in what we call economics. And what the principle says simply is, when you assume the appearance of power, people have a tendency to give it to you. Now, having said that, what I'd like to do is to look at economics and free enterprise. When we try to answer the question, capitalism, who is it good for? Well, what Rothschild said is that there are some principles. And when you position yourself to have power, people will step back and respect you in that regard. So let's consider this in relationship to that. Economics, the branch of knowledge concerned with the production, consumption, and transfer of wealth. the condition of a region or group as regard material prosperity. Free enterprise is defined as an economic and political doctrine, a belief system, holding that a capitalist economy can regulate itself in a freely competitive market through the relationship of supply and demand with a minimum of government intervention and regulation. In other words, people have the intelligence, the freedom, and the right to do for themselves without the government dictating to them how much they can have and when they can go. Now, one thing we find in stark contrast to people who engage in capitalist practice and people who depend heavily on government assistance and resources, and that is that those who depend on the government resource got to do what the government tells them to do. They got to go and come and jump as high as the government tells them in order to keep that coming. But when you own your own, when you're in control of your economic resources, you assume a position of independence and a position of self-reliance to where you don't have to depend or wait on anyone to tell you when you can go and when you can come. So as we begin to answer the question about American capitalism, who is it good for? It's good for anybody who want to be in control of their lives. Now, interestingly enough, and we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight, the dope boys, dope dealers, hustlers, they seem to have captured this mentality that I don't have to work for nobody for a fixed income, a wage, but I can create myself an opportunity to make as much money as I want to. My good friend and our esteemed panelist, Pastor Waller, is with us tonight. And I want you, Pastor, to tell me where I went wrong. Where am I? Am I right? Get me straight, Doc. Get me straight. How you doing this evening?
Man, I'm good. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor Doc?
Pretty good.
I think about the thoughts of, you know, when you ask that question, where did I go wrong? I mean, when you're striving, seeking righteousness, I don't even think that there is a going wrong, because the road that you're on, you know, while you're seeking information, and, you know, I know you can handle correction, you know, if you're wrong,
sure.
But just so happens, you know, I'm still looking at what it says in the book of Matthew 6 and 33. You know, I noticed that it talks some very encouraging words right there, to seek ye first
mm-hmm.
kingdom of God
Uh-oh.
And righteousness
Uh-oh.
And all these other things should be added unto you. So I know what you're seeking
right.
and I know who you're seeking. So with that, I just want to just encourage you to let you know you're on the right track. So I see no going
okay.
wrong,
okay.
right? I really don't,
well,
man. When you're talking about doing something and things like that, I want to say one more thing about that. When you were talking about not having someone to take what you should do, where you should go, and when you should come back, that sounds like, to me now, it sounds like a form of imprisonment. You know, when you're in
yeah.
prison, that's what you do. They turn the key,
uh-oh.
Lock it,
what?
Unlock it, and tell you what to do, tell you when to do it. Man, I just want to thank you. You know,
keep
for
coming
reminding
down my street,
me. Yes, sir. When you're free,
you
man.
That
you,
sound
you,
like
you. That's what
wow.
it sounds like.
Wow.
Now,
I
remember those days now, and I wasn't even behind walls. I wasn't even behind the bars, but I was still locked up. You know,
My
soul was in prison, man.
My, that'll preach right there, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yes, sir.
It is the truth, brother. I tell you,
well,
now,
I
what
we're that's what we're trying to do, ain't it? We're trying to put some truth out
yes.
here. We're trying to put
that's
okay,
what we're
now,
speaking.
You prompted me to reiterate the text in 1 Timothy 6 and 10. And
okay.
I just want to look at it just for a second, okay? So
okay.
Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Oh, man.
And it goes on to say, which while some covet after it, in fact, they lusted, they ran after it, they hustled after it, they erred from the faith. And then this is part that caught me. This part that caught me. Because I think about a lot of good people, sir, who think that I got my hustle and that justifies me doing whatever I do. And it goes on to say, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows.
Yeah,
your hustle brings sorrow.
Yes, sir.
Help me with that, Pastor. Help me with that.
Well, as I say, it's a quick reminder that, you know, when you happen to see something that powerful, the love of money and the root of it, the root of all types of evil. So that's why it says a many sorrows. You know, you get caught up into doing many things and that you have no clue that the money and the love for the money have caused this to take place, even in your innocence. You know, and that's what it does. It captures the minds and the hearts of so many innocent people. You know, and I have to utilize the example. The reason why I said that, because I didn't know anything about that the devil walk around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, and that's what happened. He devoured me. You know, I allowed him to. He asked me, may I devour you? And here I am saying yes. And he didn't have to ask the question by those words. It's just the things he put before me. You know, and that's how it all started, man. So, where did it go wrong? Picture that part that you said had pierced them with many sorrows, man. That's a pretty deep statement. Yes, sir.
Isn't that something?
It is.
Because, you know, I've talked to many good people, man, who have been arrested, and some of them were trying to honestly make a living. Or they've been told that. You have to tear this structure down because it's illegal. Or they've been told you can't stand on the corner and make money this way. You know, one example, unfortunately, was like the brother in New York, Staten Island. You know, Brother Garner. In his mind, I'm getting it the way I live, man. You know, I'm trying to make me some money. You understand what I'm saying?
That's it.
But
Doing no harm.
This idea, is it about money then? Is it about money? Who is the concept of being a capitalist or being an independent business owner, controlling your resource and production, who is that good for, Pastor? Who is it good for? I mean, or is it good? Is it any good? I mean, is it something that reasonable-minded individuals should think? Or should we let the government provide our day-to-day needs and resources?
Yeah, now you're going somewhere now even more stronger than start. We allow the government. You know, in other words, we're going back.
Speaking to your phone a little bit closer.
Okay. Can you hear me now? You know, we're going into the knowledge of what role we allow to
come
to
on
lead
now.
Us.
Come on now.
What role?
Take,
who will
we
allow
to
lead us? And I was thinking one day, not long ago, it only been a short, maybe a couple of days ago, I was thinking, man, I remember I was on Heron, but Heron did not make this day. So why am I still bowing down to Heron? And then I thought about it. I said, cocaine did not make this day, but God did.
Since God made
this day, can God trust me to not do heroin again after he made me free? You see, so the government didn't make me free. And so I have to realize that this is the day that the Lord has made.
That's right.
You tell us to
rejoice
and be glad. But when you don't know that, see, then you can lean and depend upon the government and say the government this, that, and maybe the other.
Now, that's interesting. Can I hold your thought right there? I want to share something with the listening audience, and I want you to come right back there where you are in terms of the government didn't make your freedom, okay? And tell me why these brothers right here, listen to these cats right here, and let's talk about it on another set just for a second. Thank you. Some people got to have it.
Yes, sir.
Some people really need it. They
That's
got things parts. To do with it. They got things to do with it.
Yeah, and I like the part when they put some people, you know, it's very unique. How he made it back. You know, I mean, I came up listening to that. That was a big part of my life, you know, I guess that
yes, sir.
I may
yes,
as well be honest, man. It increased my way of doing things.
Okay.
But I have to say, some people got to have
some
it.
Some people got
you know?
To.
And then he said, some people really need it. Really need it. Now, you check this out. Now, when you're living in a life of poverty,
uh-huh.
and you know you need this, you know,
I
you're
know
not
it.
Even thinking you want it. You know, you've got to have it because you want it, is that you just really need it.
Wow.
And the only thing you have at that time, then you just go for what you know. Say, hey, I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing to give it a try. And all
now,
of a sudden, you know, that's that part where many sorrows come in. You know, oftentimes
yes,
it does. That even from a person
yes, sir.
Just doing it because of a need. And see, the Bible talks
right.
about a need in such a way where, you know, saying, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You see? And
that's right.
and
that's
see,
right.
that's a great need. And then the Lord says, you know, over there where David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know?
Right.
And so that part of wanting and needing is two different things, man. You know? And if you don't trust him, then it can go either way. You know, you can get out there and all of a sudden you get your dollar and you want more. And,
right,
you know,
right.
and that's capture that, man. You know, a lot of people have gotten captured.
Well, now,
you know,
are you making the case for not being wealthy? Is that an argument for being unwealthy, just living a meager life and not, you know, don't do too much?
Yeah, I would say it has something to do with it, you know, because you want to sometimes keep up with the homes. You know, someone's family, you know, may have them a new car or a new house or some materialistic things in the area or whatever it is, you know, it's in the materialistic realm. And, you know, you just happen to like to have it yourself, you know, like it's nothing wrong
yeah.
with it, you know. And
okay.
in your innocence, you just seen an opportunity to not do harm to people, but you're just doing something that brings forth harm and don't even know it. Like, for instance,
and you don't realize.
You know, I'm coming from a drug related lifestyle. You know, I didn't know
mm-hmm.
that those do the people harm. So
mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
doing it myself. So, you know, I don't want to do myself any harm. So if
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it myself, share it with others. You know, that it's all right. Hey, this is the good thing to do, or I would say the hip thing to do. And
okay.
You don't have to worry about nobody coming to get you and locking you up for it, because they didn't put a sign up that says if you get caught with this, these are the penalties that take place from it. You know, nothing like that was. I mean, because
right.
if I had seen it, probably I may not have gotten into that. You know, I just, you know, see, I may not have.
I see.
Yeah,
I see,
man.
I see.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in that trap, man, when you don't know these things. Of course, we're talking about the Word of God now, but what about when you don't know the Word of God? Like myself,
well, now,
I didn't know anything about the Word of God. Yes,
sure.
Go ahead.
Let me submit this to you. Let me submit this to you. There is text that suggests that God would that we prosper and be in perfect peace. Now, I'm conflicted because what I'm hearing on one end is that maybe there's something wrong with going after money. But on the other hand, somebody suggesting that I'm supposed to be prosperous. What's the truth,
yeah,
man?
Man,
huh?
That's
capitalism.
That's kinda...
Who is it good for? Who's it good
for? Yeah, that's a good
now,
question.
I'll submit to you this. Mm-hmm. The individual must be well grounded in their faith and their practice in life, such that whatever material acquisition one has, they're controlling it, and it is not controlling them.
Oh man,
okay?
Man!
When I think about Adam being placed in the garden. Text suggests that he put man in the garden, right? Gave him free reign, Pastor. Gave him free reign and control and dominion over everything that was there. You understand what I'm saying? He gave it to him. But watch this. He gave man some sort of structure and order by which he was to what? Maintain himself from. When we step outside of that order and we allow the material thing to control our appetite and our desire, that's when we get in the gray area of evil.
Yes. He gave it to him.
Now,
He gave divine order.
Gave him all of it. He gave him power over all of it.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. The text even tells us that he gave him dominion over his woman. The text in Genesis, the second chapter, tells us that he gave Adam power or dominion over his woman.
In fact,
he empowered her to name her. Are you walking with me?
You mean that kind of power he gave to Adam, right? And
that's right.
So he knew that he had this type of power because it was given unto him, okay? And what took place after that?
Something within Adam went wrong. Are you with me?
All right.
There was nothing wrong with nature. There was nothing wrong with the natural resources. There was really nothing wrong with Eve other than Adam was out of pocket.
That's what happened. So something did
happen.
That's
what happened.
Adam out of pocket. Man.
So when we talk about the evils of even wealth and capitalism, or owning one's own destiny and controlling it, having dominion over it, it's not the thing that you pursue. It's you and what you do with it. I wish I had a witness here today.
Okay. I got that one. It's usually what you do with it, though.
See what I'm saying? Sir,
I can take a hammer,
Pastor, and I can slap myself upside the head as hard as I can. Is that what a hammer for, though? I can't do that. But is that what a hammer is used for?
No, sir. You say you can take a hammer and do that, but that's not actually what the hammer is for, basically. And you say you get ready to misuse the hammer. You know,
yes, sir.
That's what you get ready to do.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amazing.
So when I hear young people make the excuse that I sell weed and I sell crack and I sell coke and heroin because that's how, like everybody else make a living, you can do that. You can do that, yes. But that ain't what it was made for.
Right. Now,
are you walking with me?
Yeah, come on with that one now.
So what we got to teach? What we got to teach our brothers and sisters is that God endowed you with power to control the earth and all of its natural resources, and therefore you should never go hungry. But if you're looking for somebody else, sir, to tell you when to get up, when to eat, where to go, how to fix your food, guess what? you're going to be subject to them all the time.
Yeah, all the time, man. You're saying that's going to be all the time.
Not some of the times. All the time.
That's right.
I'm gonna give you a good example. Right here in Nashville, Tennessee, we got what they call food deserts. In other words, you gotta walk at least 10 blocks or more to get to a grocery store to find fruits and vegetables. And then they're not always fresh, right? So Kroger shut the doors and said we're not selling no more food to you. What will folk do in those areas? Man, they would ride and they would tear up and looting everything out of desperation. What we find ourselves doing is trying to understand how and why it is that these pressures, what we call economic pressures or systems related to materials and the supply of materials and what have you, that may be in demand, we find ourselves asking ourselves, well, who's in charge of them? How do I get mine? You know, you get yours, I get mine. You know, and that's the conflict. That's the conflict. Let me do this, Pastor. Let me get this little break in here, and then when we come back, we'll pick it right back up right there. I want to talk to my little brothers and sisters who are out there on the ground. Because I see something, man. I see something, and I'm concerned about it. When we're talking about American capitalism, who is it good for? Is there any good in it? Is there any good in it? But after this break, we'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Our panelist is Pastor Ricky Walla, author of Steel High. Tonight we're talking from the topic, American capitalism. Who is it good for? When we left, we were talking about a situation where there were individuals perhaps unaware of the power that they have. Interestingly enough, when we listened to the last commercial, we've heard of Pookie before. And we know that there's some little shouties out there. Excuse my my vernacular. Some little shouties out there that we can call Pookie everywhere, all across America. And they trying to get it. They trying to survive. This little fella, he bragging about being lazy and trifling, but yet still having his nice clothes passed, driving his on his 24s and his rims, and having what looked cute, a lot of material things, as a dazzling to the eye. But what does he get?
The man says he's trying to survive these streets, man, when he says that. Man, you imagine? Man, trying to survive these streets, man. You know, when you're in the streets, you see all of this, and, you know, and just the mentioning of knowing that he's got to do something to survive these streets.
My Lord.
And then you have no guidance. You have no leadership. You have
right.
No inward principles and morals of how to conduct yourself and be a productive member of society, and you know none of these
yes,
things
sir.
Exist in your mind. All
right.
That's on your mind at this time, when you're in a situation like that, is trying to survive these streets.
Right.
Sad to say,
right?
That is happening. So, what causes a person to deal with some of the things that would say, hey, this is something that I can use to survive the streets. In other words, money, because you talked about it earlier.
Yes, sir.
You said,
yes, sir.
For the love of him is the root of all kind of evil. But if this man is just trying to survive these streets and don't even have a love for money because he wasn't a money getter.
Right.
But once
right.
he started, that's when he was being lured into the love for the money. Need some bacon and eggs on the table. It has gotten deeper than that now. Now,
right.
It's back to when he said some people got to have it in the song.
Some people
he went from
right.
it to now he's got to have it.
Right.
See, that's how fast it can happen, man. I mean, it can happen just that. You know, you can be doing it for the fun of it, you know, and all of a sudden.
Can I tell you two things that every father ought to teach their children, be they male or female? Two principles, two concepts that they ought to be introduced to. And that's the concept, if in a society, in the world period, wherever you are, they should understand the concepts of economics. Okay? The concept of production, consumption, and the transfer of wealth from one generation to the next. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what I'm getting at, the other thing that they should know, that they should be taught coming up, is how to regulate their activity in such a way that they can produce for themselves. Those are things that a father ought to teach their children.
Yeah, but what about when he's not there? Nowhere around.
So now that's the question is, American capitalism, who is it good for? This is good for anybody seeking to be a responsible, productive father and to be a voice of authority in their children's life. If we're going to do anything, sir, if we're going to spend any money, we're going to spend any time, we ought to go to the hedges and highways and find these biological progenitors and teach them, encourage them, and love them into being responsible fathers. Then the government don't have to do certain things.
That's right. Because there is, yes, sir, because there is an answer. I believe that. That's good news.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We, we can get rid of public welfare and things of that nature if we did that, sir.
So
if we simply did that.
For those who know it, to go out in the hedges and highways and compel them and teach them, and I'm sure a lot of them would be willing to learn.
Look, the LaShardis out there, they got the entrepreneurial mindset because they're out there hustling. That's all an entrepreneur is, a risk taker. Huh?
That's all it
they
is.
They got the mindset. They got the mindset. They're taking a risk. For the wrong thing, that's all.
Taking a risk for the wrong
thing. We got little sisters out there. There was a report out in the article that suggested that young girls in college are resorting to selling their body. Well, they've been doing it when I was in college 25, 30 years ago. But they're moving more now, convincing themselves that it's okay to sell their body to pay their way through college. Help me with that, Pastor. Help me with that.
Yeah.
Somebody explain that to me like I'm 3 years old. But in fact, the number is 657-383-0944. If you're listening, give me a call. Help me with that. Help me understand that. You know, what I'm saying in short is, and that's the nature of this podcast show, there are so many things that we need to be teaching that will solve the social ills that we see on a day-to-day basis. There are so many places that are void of basic knowledge and understanding. You know what the text says. He that read, let him get a what?
Yeah, he that read.
Yeah, let him get a what? An
understanding.
The principle is the wisdom thing. Principle is the wisdom thing. He that read, let him get an understanding.
Yeah, we have to get that. See, without that, you know, you won't understand that, you know, there's a lot of things that's placed before those people who are able to acknowledge that, hey, I can do this and I can pay my way through college, because it's being displayed on the TV screen on an increasive manner now.
Oh,
you see things
God.
Like it's all over, man. I mean, they display this thing as if it's really all right.
That's right.
You know,
as if it's normal.
I think it's
been normalized.
Yeah.
It's been normalized.
That's right.
You know,
so they can lure
the
you in.
The deal is, there you go. And the worst thing to hear is young, old people as well, but young folk justify self-destruction and exploitation under the guise of I'm making money.
Right.
There's a song out that suggests this young man is telling his girlfriend she can go dance at the strip club as long as she come home to him. He understands.
Say what?
But he's a young kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is the song, see? And this is the mentality that is driven through the song. As long as she come, it's okay. I'm trying to get the words right. I'm paraphrasing now. But as long as she come home to him, it's okay. So, yeah, she go out and dance at strip club for other folks.
Yeah, go do it. That's it.
Yeah, make your money. Make your money. Just come home and bring your money home to me. Is that not what a pimp does, sir?
Yeah, look at the power of money. You know, see, this right here can turn a person who's a scrap out. I mean, he don't even have to be a pimp. He can just know that this can happen, and all of a sudden he becomes that and don't even know it. Now, you know, he's getting the money because he started out being a pimp. You see, and that's what we were talking earlier about, for the love of money. Now he's playing the role, you know, of a pimp, because that's what a pimp do. He let her go out and get the money, bring it back to him, and now he's the talk of the town.
See what I mean?
And so he started to sharpen his tools now, because he's in.
He's a man.
I mean, it happens to innocent people, bro.
Right.
Yes,
sure.
Sir.
And all I'm suggesting is this. In fact, I'm saying that the solution, the answer to this woe, to this problem, to this hurt, this pain, is to change your mind and your behavior. Change your thought and the way you act. And you don't have to. Capitalism can work for you if you use it appropriately. Now, some people would argue, well, now you got only a handful of people got money. Well, you got to ask yourself, with all these people with energy, with creativity, with imagination, what are they doing with it? Or are you trained and conditioned to wait for somebody else to tell you when, where, and how to act? What limit did God give you on your gifts and talents?
And I mean, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of gifts too, man. And
but
as I said,
man?
Yeah, they got instruction. We talked about where God says your gifts will find you out. And
come on now.
Come on. Remind you. You see,
right.
And it's same me. You know, I went out and you know, about a month ago, and you know, I had never seen myself play basketball. I just heard people talk about I play things like that. You know, I just did it for the fun of it. It was interesting, but I never seen a shot. I was like, that's a nice shot, or I need to learn how to shoot a little bit better. I never seen that. So I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just up there getting ready to do some stuff with the ball. Wasn't thinking about shooting. So it was a kid up on the playground. I asked him, would he take my phone? Because I wanted to see it for myself. I wanted to see what people were talking about. So I took some shots, man. And after I was done with it, I got a chance to look at it. And I got real sad because I was amazed how 59, how I was shooting that ball, man. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And,
don't
you know,
it,
and that's.
Don't say it.
Oh, yeah. It was sad. I must admit it. I'm just admitting, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I guess that's the only way I can get free. Because if I keep it inside of me and just all just look at it and say, it ain't nothing, no, I'm sad by it. Because it wasn't because I hit the shot. It was the way that I hit the shot. And it was the way the nets popped, you know, and things like that. And that's the thing about in other areas of people's lives, not just sports. People are gifted, man. And then the enemy could lure them in and strip you from your gift. And man is a thing, brother. Believe me, it really
is. You know,
I'm
glad you said that. I'm glad you said. Will you tell us a little bit about how you address that in the book about your particular gift and talent, and how the enemy just distracted you from what you had going for you? You know?
Yeah.
Could have made a way for you. Could have made a way for you.
Oh, without a doubt, man. It was the false promises of street life. You know, like the young brother said earlier, he was just trying to survive these streets. What I was lured into the lifestyle, you know, from watching brothers standing on the corner, you know, I was out there playing with the basketball by myself in the yard, in the projects, you know. And I used to aim my ball at a certain spot on the shed, you know, because I was kind of husky. So when I would shoot the ball up there, sometimes it would get stuck on top of the roof, and I had to go in the house and get a broom to knock it off because I couldn't get up there and hold on to the roof that long, to the shed that long to knock the ball off until I started growing up.
Right.
But anyway, so I got pretty good at it. I used to hit that spot, and the ball wouldn't get hung up there anymore. I didn't have to go get the broom out of there anymore. But I'm not aware that I'm developing, you know, my gift in such a way that this is going to be my gift, and I should know about it. But because of the attraction, man, I was attracted to what I seen guys doing. I looked out on the corner and looked at them guys still standing there styling and profiling. And all of a sudden, that became me, to make a long story short. And it just stripped me from my ball game, even with the ball still in my hand. See, I still had the ball in my hand while I was kept and tied up and twisted in the street life, but I couldn't apply it. I wasn't able to apply the gift that was within it, you see. And so I have the book that's entitled Forsaken Talent, and I'm sending a message to the youth.
Because that's
what happened, man, to a lot of young minds, you know, such. And I was young and I was in it, and I didn't know any better, and I didn't have no true guidance. Well, you know, people used to encourage me by way of saying, you know, positive things and everything like that. That happened, but you know, I didn't have nothing strong enough for the power of the enemy at that time.
But see,
that's
still going on today. That's still happening right now. And
it is.
The deception is the deception is that you're going to get rich some kind of way. If it's nothing but for a minute to have a grip in your hand.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's the way the enemy sell it, man.
Oh, you already hear some of the said in the book, man, some of the insane things that I talked about that I used to really actually say when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying things like this. I have more $100 bills than Van Camp have poking beans. And I say, for every poking bean you pull out of a can, I have $100 bill for it. Man, listen to that insanity, man. Yeah, man, for every bean you pull out of a can of these poking beans, man, I have $100 bill for you. And man, that was just so sad, just the thought of how this enemy had control of my mind to the point where that's where he said it, that he was pierced with many sorrows. See, I didn't know the word of God. You understand? I didn't stray from my faith concerning the word of God. It was that my gift I was stripped from. And so it was interesting, man. You know, so I would just say, you know, there is an answer. There's a solution. There's still hope. And we just have to get the message out there to young people, man, that I have very much powerful, strong compassion for them because I understand what they're dealing with. And I wouldn't want this on my worst enemy, you know, for one to pick such a drug that controls you, that locks you up, that incarcerates your mind, and, you know, you can't do anything but what it tells you to do. I mean, that's a terrible way to live, man. You know, with or without money.
That's right. And I was just going to say, if you can capture the imagination, sir, of energy that is found in youth, there is no limit to what they can create. They can probably solve some of the world's greatest problems, man. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have to be in poverty in neighborhoods and communities because that young energy will go to work, man, and make the difference for itself. I often wonder, you know, the things that you and I have been blessed to know, if half of the guys running around on the streets with their pants down selling drugs and some of them ain't even selling drugs. They're just trying to look like it. They flaunt it. They fake it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But
suppose they have the knowledge that we have now, sir. How much of a difference could be made in their lives?
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, as intelligent as a lot of them are, man, I think it would be a real positive thing going on. You can see, you know, how effective their gifts can become, you know, with the knowledge. Now, with it, of course, you know, you'll see what you're seeing now. But with the sky's the limit, brother.
I like your favorite verse. With God, nothing. Can I go? Tell it to me.
Yes, sir.
Tell it to me.
That gets me excited right there. For with God, nothing shall be.
Nothing shall be.
And I said, woo! You mean tell me that if I get with God, you mean tell me I can overcome this stronghold? So what happened, Pastor? This is what happened, man. My mother passed in 1996.
Okay.
I had been on drugs for a little over almost 4 years.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, and I got to have something for this void, you know. You know, my mother and I, we had a thing going on, tight, you know. I don't know how it's right here. And I said, okay, well, I know God a little bit, I said, but I don't know him that well. And I said to myself, by Luke 1:37, I said, he's going to show me something now. And, man, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, in motion on me, man, I've been delivered now for 25 years, man. Never went back. I wanted to use drugs. When I say I wanted to use drugs, I mean, I'm getting it to you straight, man. I wanted to use drugs couldn't.
I get you.
And I what was happening, it dawned on me that scripture was so powerful. God proved it to me. Because I believed in him, I trusted him. I said, God, you got to show me. And he showed me, man, proved it to me. And I just want to give him his props because, you know, that scripture was only seven words, man. And
well,
the second word, yes, sir, the second word is the one that kicked in with.
Uh-oh.
See, God got everything
Uh-oh.
In perspective. But if I don't get with him, you understand what I'm saying? I'm on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But because
mm-hmm.
I was with him,
mm-hmm.
proved it to
okay.
me. So now I don't have no desire to use drugs or anything now. But, man, back then, brother, you know, you're talking about a little over 21 years ago, brother, I had that hard
yeah.
desire to want to use it. But it wasn't stronger than the one not to use. I just didn't know it.
The God
so, you know, there's hope. I came
yes,
to myself.
Sir.
You know, the scripture said also, you know, I talk about it in the book as well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare,
mm-hmm.
the trap
they
of
the
devil,
trap.
Having been captive by him to do his will. See, the devil
right.
has a will, so he's in the minds of a lot of people, and they're doing his will even when they don't want to do his will. You see,
okay.
and that's the thing. But I know a God
okay.
that can get over his will and take one out of his will and establish his own. Because Psalm 4 in verse 1 says, God is our refuge and
uh-huh.
strength, a very
uh-huh.
present help. In other words, he's very present while I was in trouble, so he just got in my trouble with me to show me how to get out
right.
of it.
Okay.
You see, and
okay.
that's what I
love. You know what? That's going to be our final thought tonight. We've got 2 minutes, and you just wrapped it up for us, man. You just wrapped it up for us. God bless you. God bless you. We're gonna come back next Tuesday night, and we're going to be picking up on this theme about wealth and capitalism, and more importantly, individual prosperity, how to obtain it, you know. That's our basic theme throughout the month of June that we're going to try to stick with here. But if you have a question, if you have a concept or a thought you want us to talk about, go to our website and give me a call. The number's there. The website is www.bfc, that's Bravo Frank Charlie, Institute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. Call me or email me and let me know what you'd like to talk about. If you want to come on and be on the show, be happy to have you. There is a lady who is a financial manager. I'm going to try to get her on for next week, Pastor. She's here in Nashville.
Okay.
So we're going to see if we can get her on for next week and kind of go from there. But listen, let me thank you again for your presence and thank our listening audience. This is Talk Straight, your host,
Great.
Reverend Doc Ree, and our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Still High. You can go to the same website and go to the Contact Us and hover over it. Go to the back store. You can find that book there. I need to get a book from you, too, Pastor. Someone asked for a copy.
Yes.
Copy. So I'll give you a call, and we'll make arrangements there. But
right,
thank you
enough.
Again for listening to Talk Straight, and we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. And with that, we're going to close out with Donny Hathaway. He says, giving up is hard to do when you love someone.